Janet, is these in order or are these in order? I would just go by.
Good morning. This hymn says, "O Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, O Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this home, in this world, excuse me, anymore." Let's stand and sing that together this morning.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Baptized. So if you're a friend or a family member that would like to come up and take pictures or get closer, now is the time for you to come on up. Yeah. Plenty of room up here.
Hard to see from the back. gave us the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Christ had come and died on the cross for our sin, paid our sin debt. And then he said, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And so, Farah has made that decision to accept Christ as her Savior. And so I'm going to ask for that for a public profession of her faith. Farah, have you asked Jesus in your heart as personal Savior?
Yes.
Okay, and because of that, in obedience to the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon your profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, now my sister, Farah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of His death, all right, here we go. You ready? Burial, and resurrection.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I have just a few announcements here. First off, today we will be completing our Dixie Jackson missions offering. Tonight we will be continuing the I Am a Church Member study during the evening service. And then following that, we'll be having some hand-cranked ice cream, or homemade ice cream, however you want that. September 30th. Impact night for students at New Hope Baptist from 5 to 9 p.m. And then October 7th, wedding for Maylee and Colton here at the church at 6:30 p.m. And Shelly wanted me to make sure everyone knows you are all invited. So that's everybody. I believe that's it. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray... Just thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've given us, God. I pray for Tim and the message he's going to bring us. God, I pray you just give us ears to hear. God, I pray you watch and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. A week from now, the choir is going to resume meeting. We'll meet for 8 weeks this fall to prepare for a Christmas celebration in front of the church on the second Sunday morning in December. And we'll be gathered and worshiping together and discovering a theology of worship and fellowshipping and having a great time. That's at 5 o'clock on Sundays, beginning next Sunday afternoon. So hope you feel free to join us for that. Would you stand with me?
Never leave me, nor yet forsake me.
Thank you.
Sing with me.
The great divine cross for me.
coming forward for the offering, I wanted to invite those of you who might be visiting to notice these blue cards in the pew in front of you. They have all options for you to fill out, for us to either come see you or at least for us to know that you have visited us. And we hope you feel welcomed here this morning. So I hope you'll do that. And if, when the offering plate is passed, you'll put that in there for us to recognize you later. Thank you.
And we pray your blessing on each person that's here this morning. And we pray that we may all draw closer to you. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
He beat me to it. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship today. And, well, God is good, isn't he? Yeah, if I say that, I think I saw some lips say it. If I say that in a lot of congregations throughout the state, they'll reply back to me all the time, right? Y'all familiar with that, so we're going to try it again, okay? Little audience participation. Church is not a spectator sport, so participate. God is good. And all the time, thank you. He really is. We've had a great morning this morning of worship. We have sung the gospel, talking about Christ's death and his burial and his resurrection for our sins. We have witnessed a testimony with Farrah this morning as she showed the world and speaks to the world, everyone in here in the world, that I've died to myself. I've trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. I am a new person, born again, born into the family of God. She displayed that. She showed us the gospel this morning. Amen? God is alive and well, and he is working. Yes, it's so good to be back with you this morning at Osage Baptist Church. Thankful for what God is doing here and doing all around. I'm here for a few more weeks, and as your pastor has retired and into retirement, it's so good always to see him here. You guys are on a search, and during this interim time, you guys are praying for your search committee as that group of six. It's six, right? I think six, five, seven. Anyway, somewhere between five and seven people are seeking the next man of God to lead this congregation. So I know you guys are praying for them. You're praying for your next pastor. In the meantime, we've been looking at some different things about the church. We've talked about the purpose of the church, the mission of the church. We've talked about how us together as a church work. We've talked about individually as a church, God has gifted us and created us to serve Him. My plan this morning was to talk about what a healthy church looks like. But I've changed the name. I've changed the topic this morning after Friday night. Friday night I was with about 300 youth at a retreat over in at Camp Siloam. About 300 youth. The speaker was Shane Pruitt, and Shane came and he spoke to all the leaders, the adults, before the session, and he said, "I'm going to talk this weekend about real love and real repentance and real discipleship. That's the theme for this weekend." He said, "This next generation, this generation of young people that are coming up, want real life. They want real." They want you to be real with them. They want you to. They're tired of the fake front that you see on Facebook or Instagram. You know, we put our best self forward on there. We want everybody to see how beautiful our family is, or how great a fisherman we are, or whatever it is. We post the good stuff on there. And he said, this next generation, what he is calling the, as some people call them Gen Z, he said, we're calling them the revival generation, because God is moving throughout our young people across the country. He says they want real. They want something real. They don't want the fake. They don't want the put on. And I was thinking about this yesterday as I was going over the message. I thought, you know, he's not the only. These kids aren't the only ones that want real. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe I'm beginning to get a few gray hairs. Y'all be careful. Be kind. But I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my Sundays. I don't want to waste my existing, the rest of my existence here on planet Earth just going through some motions. I want real. Amen? You want real. We're here this morning to encounter a real God and to hear from a real God. I'm going to say something negative about another church. I'm not going to mention any names, but I was at a church several months ago. I just showed up. Part of my job, part of my role with the state convention is to encourage pastors and churches, and so I just showed up. And it was good service, you know, good music. The sermon was biblical, straight from the Bible, good service, all good. As he's dismissing folks, he said, "I'll see y'all next week." And I'm a little bit surprised, thinking, okay, there's not a Sunday night, there's not a Wednesday night, there's not home groups. Once a week they gather together as the body, go to church on Sunday. And I don't know what the dynamic is among everybody and all that, but I walked away just a little bit sad, just thinking, is that it? Is this gathering that we do on Sunday morning, is this what Jesus died for? Just so we could come together on Sunday mornings? And as I was reflecting on that and then thinking about the idea of real, wanting to be real, I look at the first century church, and we're going to look, and you can begin opening your Bibles there to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and following. I see what I want. I see what my heart longs for, what my heart desires as a follower of Christ, as a believer, as somebody who has trusted Christ as Lord and Savior and have that new life in me. This is the real church that I'm looking for, the reality, the longing of my heart as a follower of Christ. So instead of talking about healthy church today, we're going to talk about real church, okay? We're going to look at five characteristics of what the Scripture shows us as a real church, a healthy church. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and following. And they devoted themselves to the... Let me step back just a minute. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it slowly. And I'm going to ask you just for a minute, not getting weird or anything, but just close your eyes and listen. Just close your eyes and listen and think that you're there. Think about the fact that you're there at the beginning of the church, there in first century Jerusalem, experiencing this, all right? Nothing weird. I'm not going to throw anything at anybody while your head's bowed. But just sit and think about this. Listen with your ears. Listen with your heart. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Lord, we come before you this morning desiring your presence, your grace, your mercy, just allowing us to experience you this morning. And Lord, as a church, we desire all you have for us and what you've created us for, what you've created the church for. And Lord, as we look through this passage this morning, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. May we not settle for anything that is not real. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First church, somewhat of a model for the rest of the church. This is the beginning of the church. It's not yet fully developed, but it does show what the early church believers gathered to do and how they interacted with each other. They saw and shows us what was important to the apostles and the early church. What was their priority as a gathering of local saints and as a priority to them, something that ought to be a priority for us. This first summary of what the local church looked like and acted like, someone once called a colony of heaven. And as you're listening to that, as you're looking at these verses, you think, I think, and I hope you think too, how cool would that be? How cool would that be to have been there and to sense that and be a part of something like this? Real church. Acts chapter 2, as you know, is the beginning of the church. On the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ's death and resurrection, the church had gathered and prayed for weeks, and they were continuing to pray, and then on the day of Pentecost, God himself shows up and comes down. And the believers, as they're gathered together there on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues of fire come down on the room that they're in and on themselves. And as they speak, people who come from different parts of the world are hearing them speak in their own language. And this act of God, this movement of God falls upon them. And the Holy Spirit rests on his church, his believers. And people are saying, what's going on? Are these folks drunk? This is just the weirdest thing ever going on here in Jerusalem. And Peter stops and says, hey, what you guys are seeing is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. It's the prophecy that God promised long ago that he would come and fill his people and that the gospel would go out. Talked about Jesus, and in the end, those who heard Peter were and heard and saw all this said, what do we got to do to be a part of this? What do we have to do to be saved? And that day after Peter's sermon, 3,000 people were saved. This is the group of people that he's talking about when it says, verse 32, and they devoted themselves. This is the first 3,000 who had heard the good news, heard the fact that God loved them in spite of their sin, in spite of the sin that separated from him. God loved them so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for those sins, and by repenting of their sin, trusting Christ, they could have new life, and they could have new life here and now with a new family, be born into the family of God. This is that 3,000 that are gathered together here in verse 42, and it says that those people, they did four things that resulted in a fifth thing. They devoted themselves to four different things. They devoted themselves to the Word. They devoted themselves to one another. They devoted themselves to worship, and they devoted themselves to prayer. The word devoted here has the idea of faithful adherence to. The literal meaning of the Greek word for that's translated devotion here, devoted to, is persisting obstinately in something. When we say they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, they persisted obstinately in studying and listening to the Word of God. Y'all ever persist obstinately in anything? You know, parents, your kids persist obstinately in trying to get away with stuff, right? They bug you, mom, 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 until you answer, until you respond, right? They persisted obstinately to the point that they didn't only take it seriously, but it was the focus of their lives. Nothing could get in the way. When you see the word devoted, they're thinking nothing can get in the way of the apostles' teaching for them. Their lives were revolved around Jesus, his people, their new lives. They were adopted into this new family, and as a new family, they focused on these four things. First of all, they focused on or devoted themselves was to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves. We think about all that happened just a few days earlier there in Acts. Some crazy stuff going on, right? I mean, people are the tongues and the fire and the new people that are joining the movement and all this. It would be real easy to get wrapped up in the emotion of this. It says further that there were miracles going on. They sat in awe of what God is doing. There was an emotional high during this period, and it would have been real easy for them just to seek out the next emotional experience, to go to the next conference, to get the next worship experience, to go and to experience more presence here and more of this or more of that. Yet the Holy Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, didn't let them go that direction, did he? He brought them the truth. Through the apostles who had sat with Jesus, who had walked with Jesus, who had heard to Jesus, what Jesus had poured into them, they began it to pour into the people. How to understand the Old Testament. How to see Christ in the Old Testament. What the Old Testament taught us about the coming Christ and the coming Savior and how he was going to save the world. These guys, these apostles that were teaching were speaking truth as the Holy Spirit was infilling them and giving them words to follow, to so much so that the rest of the New Testament, the rest of the Bible, is what these guys were saying, what they were writing, what they were sharing with the new church. It would have been easy to despise the teaching and the learning side of life and go after the emotional. But it says the early church were hungry for God to the point that they were hungry for the Word. They sat at the apostles' feet, hungry to receive instruction, and they persevered in it. They recognized that the apostles' teaching was authoritative because it came from Jesus, who was the authority. So they took it as their authority. They passed it on. We today, what's our authority for life and practice? It's the Word of God, right? It's the authority in our lives. It's what we come to know as His Word. Since the apostles' teaching has come down to us in the New Testament, our devotion is to be to the Word of God, whether it be in personal Bible study, in corporate Bible study, as we come together for Sunday school, in sermons. All of that should result in us submitting to the Word of God. Devotion to the Word of God. The apostles passed on what had been passed on to them. The Holy Spirit filled them so that they were leading them into all truth. A New Testament church, a healthy church, a real church, a church that is beyond just the facade or just the let's put on our good faces for Sunday morning. A healthy church it submits to the New Testament instruction. The Spirit of God leads us, teaches us, grows us through study of the Word. This is why Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Paul says, I'm going away. In the meantime, devote yourselves to this right here. Devote yourselves to it. Be persistently obstinate in studying and hearing and listening to the Word of God. It says that day by day, they attended the temple together. They were in the Word daily. They were gathering together daily. They didn't show up just once a week. They studied their Word. They studied the Bible. They did it on their own. They gathered together. They took every opportunity that was presented to them to grow in the knowledge of God and the Bible, both personally, in small groups, house to house, and in corporate gatherings. A real church, a church that meets the heart needs and felt needs of this community, of you and me, and everybody else out there that doesn't yet know Christ, a real church is focused on the Word of God, is devoted to the Word in every way, shape, and form. Amen? Amen. Not only were they devoted to the Word of God, the Scripture says that they were devoted to the fellowship. They cared for one another. Verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. The definite article, the, is there in the original language. This is to the family. They were devoted to the family, to the new family, to each other. Verse 46 says that day by day they were meeting in homes, breaking bread together. The context there of sharing meals. Not much breaks down barriers and says, I love you, I care for you, I want to be a part of your life, and sitting down together around a table, eating a meal. It breaks down the barriers. It breaks down that we're all, I'm better than you, you're better than me. It just levels the playing field, doesn't it, when we sit around the table and share a meal. They shared not just meals together. They shared their resources together. They cared for each other, the fellowship. They shared life. They shared resources, giving generously to meet the needs of each other. And not just each other, but others in the community. They gave of what God had given them so that the needs of others could be met. Here the believers fulfilled the words that Jesus gave and to his disciples just before his crucifixion, where he says, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. The world is looking for love. Young people are looking for love. They're trying to find it. They're seeking it out, as we said before, in all the wrong places. They're looking for the love of God. Jesus says, if you guys, if you, the church, will love one another, people are going to flock to you. They did here, right, in Acts chapter 2, because the world is looking for this. They will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. The early church put each other's needs first. As Philippians says, considering others as more important than themselves. They were a caring church. The church was devoted to the Word, to gathering together. They were devoted to each other. Whatever I can do to help you, whatever you need, let's figure it out. Let's get you the help you need, whether it be financial or emotional or help with this or help with that. That's family, right? I know I'll do that for any one of my kids or grandkids, whatever. Can't tell you the small fortune we've spent on our property, making sure it's grandkid friendly. Okay, we'll do whatever we can for people we love. Right? This is the early church, caring for one another, devoting themselves to one another. They devoted themselves. They were persistently obstinate in studying the Word. They were persistently obstinate in loving on and caring for one another. They were also devoted to persistently obstinate about the breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread. This specifically has reference to the Lord's Supper that was taken during those days in conjunction with a fellowship meal. It's an ordinance of worship, something that Jesus commanded the church to do. Just like the baptism we saw, the two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, were acts of worship. When you partake of the bread, you're saying what Jesus did in dying, I receive that. I receive his death, I receive his body which is broken for me, I receive his blood that was shed for me, and this is me. It's also talking about the future, right? That someday we'll be in heaven with God. We're preaching about the future when we sit around the I was going to say the Lamb's Book of Life. What's the table called? When we're all gathered in heaven, sitting around the table eating the fellowship supper of the Lamb, we'll be there. The Lord's Supper, in conjunction with the meals, is an ordinance of the church, an act of worship, talking about the past, present, and future, worshiping God Himself. Verse 43 says that in a sense of fear and awe at what God was doing fell over them. They saw these incredible acts of miracles and healings and all sorts of cool stuff happening there. And the church just sensed this overwhelming sense of wow. You know, awe is that emotion you get or that feeling you get when you can't really say anything. Oh, this is so cool, right? God is at work. They sensed this. They had this worshipful attitude about how God was working and moving among them. Again, in verse 46, we see that they worshiped together by attending the temple, the prayers, the sermons, observing, remembering all that God had done for them. In verse 47, it says that they were praising God, corporately lifting their voices, thanking, praising Him for who He is and what He has done. They worshiped Him in every way, shape, or form imaginable, corporately and individually. The early church was a church. A real church says, God's crazy gracious to us. The God, the creator of the universe, has loved us so much that look what He's poured on us. Look how He's blessed us. And there's a sense of worship and praise for all that He has done and all that He is doing. They were persistently obstinate in worshiping God, praising Him for what He'd done. Finally, we read that they were persistently obstinate, devoted to the prayers. Interesting way to put it. Not just in praying, but in the prayers. Same verbiage is used in Acts chapter 6. The prayers, this would have been both individual prayer and corporate prayer. Just the next few verses in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, reminds us that the early church continued the practice of going to the temple three times a day to pray together as an act of worship, as an act of dependence, a surrender on God, laying all things at His feet, thanking Him, praising Him, worshiping Him in prayer, but also just going before Him and into His presence. The disciples earlier had asked Jesus, teach us to pray, right? And what did he say? What was the model that we use today? The Lord's Prayer, right? Begins with our Father who art in heaven. The hour, the corporate nature of it. This is us coming before God. Yet the Father side is that intimacy, the one-on-one intimacy. The early church is thought to have adapted and adjusted that Jewish practice of praying three times a day by praying the Lord's Prayer three times a day. This is what Jesus taught us, is how he taught us to pray, and so this is how we are going to pray individually and then corporately. Every major advance in the book of Acts comes about as a response to the people of God corporately praying together. Every revival throughout history from that time until today has come about. You can trace its roots to a group of people who are coming before God, laying all things at his feet, saying, God, would you move? Would you speak? Would you bring revival? Would you bring awakening? Would you help us love you and serve you better? Would you help those who don't know you come to know you as Lord and Savior? It all begins in prayer. We desire a movement like we see in Acts chapter 2. If we desire a movement like we've seen throughout history, it starts with us individually and as a church praying. Paul writes to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Writing to the church, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Continue steadfastly, and I say persisting obstinately, in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue to pray and expect God to work. Continue to pray in faith, right? Asking God to move in us and with us with an attitude of gratefulness, with an attitude of thanksgiving. God, thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you're going to do. The prayers. A healthy New Testament church, a real church, is a church that is dependent on God, knows it, is a praying church, makes prayer a priority individually, corporately, as a body, crying out to God. Those four things are the specific things in Acts chapter 2 that we saw that the apostles were devoted to, that the early church was devoted to. They were devoted to those four things, and that resulted in some really cool stuff happening, right? It resulted in evangelism. And day by day, end of verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Because the early church prayed, because the early church gathered together and in worship, because the early church was devoted to one another and devoted to the Word of God, God responded. God responding by opening the hearts of those around them, for allowing others to see Him work among a people in a mighty, mighty way. And as the walls were broken down, more people came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. This gave them more boldness in their living. This gave them more boldness in their loving. It gave them more boldness in their sharing with those around them. And the result was that daily, every single day, somebody, a group of people, were hearing the good news and were responding to it. That's real church, y'all. That's what my heart longs for, and I think that's what our heart longs for, where we're constantly in the presence of God, devoting ourselves to Him and the things that are important to Him, and as we do, we see God move, and then the cycle repeats itself, because these new believers that come in, they begin to get devoted to the Word of God and the Scripture. They begin to get devoted to one another. They begin to devote themselves to worship. They begin to devote themselves to prayer. And then others see them and their lives, the life change that happens, and it goes on and on. The cycle repeats itself from Jerusalem. We see this in Acts, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. We see the beginning of what we talked about before as that perpetual world revolution, where God is turning the world upside down flipping it on its head through the church, through the gospel, through the life of Jesus in the local body expressing itself. Today, as a church, these are the things that we must make a priority. These are the things that we must promote, that we must devote ourselves to. These are the things that if we're going to be a real church, we've got to keep into focus. Amen? Growing in His Word at every opportunity, personally in small groups and corporately being transformed by that renewing of our mind. We've got to grow in His Word. We've got to care for one another. Loving each other in real, tangible ways, like family, because we are family, brothers and sisters in Christ, doing life together, putting others' needs over our own needs and desires, sacrificing ourselves for our families, our church family, our spiritual family, growing in His Word, caring for each other, worshiping and praising Him, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as a body, as a family, giving Him the praise and the honor that He is due, because He's due it. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of our hearts and souls and our every breath. Praying. I walked away from our service last week just praising God for prayer, praising God for the time we had together praying, and thought to myself, if the Lord ever leads me back into full-time church or pastoring something, I'm going to do that regularly. Amen? Just corporately gathering and just praying and seeking God's face and worshiping Him through prayer. And all that results in a heart and a mind that says, I can't just hold this into myself. I got to tell my neighbor. I got to tell my friend. I've got to share with them the good news. We live in a messed up world, y'all. I don't even have to turn on the news. You know, it'll come through your Twitter feed if it or whatever, your Facebook feed. We live in a messed up world where people are hurting, where people are oppressed, where people are depressed, lonely, anxious, abused, afraid, looking for something real. Folks, we've got it with Jesus. Amen? We've got the Creator of the universe who has loved us and sent His Son to die for us that we might have fellowship with Him both now and forevermore. Amen? Let's be about the business of a church. Let's be real. Let's be real in all these aspects. Amen? I'm going to ask Matt if you'd come up, and as we move into a time of invitation. I'm still new here, and I know a lot of faces and a few names, and I ask your forgiveness for not being better at all that. But you may be here today, and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never come to the point where you realize that God's love for you, for us, is so great and so wonderful that He can forgive us of everything we've ever done and everything that we're going to do. He died for those sins that we deserve to die for. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, He can change your life. He can forgive you of everything and give you hope. Trusting in Him, turning from your sin and trusting in Him, He can give you new life and born you into a new family, a family of faith here at Osage Baptist Church. Let's stand together as we sing closing hymn. I'm going to be at the front here. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to share with you how you can do that personally. Just come forward now. I'll be at the back at the end of the service. You can come talk to me there. Brother Lanny is here. The deacons are here. Reach out if God is talking to you today. Matt, would you continue to play? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. We talked about being real today, real as a church. I don't know where you are. If you're here this morning and you said, you know, I've not been real, I've not been devoted to the gathering of the saints, to the studying of the Word of God, and to the personal Bible study, you might take just a minute now just to ask God's forgiveness and redevote yourself to those things. Maybe this morning you're here and you're saying, you know, I've not been real caring and loving in this congregation. God has laid somebody on my heart I need to reach out to and love on them. Commit to do that right now. Let's be real. Let's just not walk away not doing as God is leading us to do right now. You may be here today and say, you know what? Not been faithful in my corporate worship. Not been faithful in my prayer time. Whatever it is, just take a minute and get right before God in these areas. Let's be the church that God has created us to be. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we long for all that you have for us. Lord, we turn from our indifference this morning. We ask that you would forgive us for our lack of faith and our laziness and our apathy. And we just pray, Lord, that you would allow us to sense your presence, create at Osage Baptist a healthy church, a real church that exemplifies all this so that you might be glorified and that you might be honored and that many would come to know you as their God and as their Savior. We love you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I don't know if there's any closing words or thoughts, but I skipped that. Amen. Be warm and filled. We'll see you tonight, not next week, right?